The sense objects in the form of desire enter within the mind. Therefore, how can a person who desires liberation, who desires to cross over activities of sense gratification, destroy this mutual relationship between the sense objects and the mind? Please explain this to us. Brahma, as we just described, created the whole universe. So now he's supposed to answer to them how to become freed from the mutual relationship between the sense objects, which he just spent creating an entire universe full of, and the mind. And he became stunned. He couldn't answer. He didn't know. He was temporarily bewildered. Commentators say that previously in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read how Brahma told Lord Narada, Narada Muni, his son, that I've become freed from this material entanglement. And now I simply see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere. So in order to humble him, as we all have experienced, Krishna made it so that he couldn't really remember or answer his sons properly, them being very advanced sages. So he started to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hamsa Avatar Keshava Prabhu. And right before the four Kumaras and Lord Brahma, a swan, it's interesting that the swan's on the altar today, huh? Kind of serendipitous. A swan form of the Lord, named Hamsa Avatar, manifested before Lord Brahma, who's standing there, and you see the little children, the Kumaras keep themselves young. And he appeared to answer their question. This is Krishna explaining to Uddhava in the 11th canto about this pastime. My dear Uddhava, the sages, being eager to understand the ultimate truth of the yoga system, thus inquired from me. Now please explain, please hear. Now hear as I explain that which I spoke to the sages. Lord Hamsa said, within this world, whatever is perceived by the mind, speech, eyes, or other senses is me alone, nothing besides me. All of you please understand this by this straightforward analysis of the facts. My dear sons, the mind has a natural proclivity to enter into sense objects, and similarly the sense objects enter into the mind. But both this material mind and sense objects are merely designations that cover the eternal spirit soul, who is part and parcel of me. Do we have any Bhagavad Gita scholars who can quote the verse that says that lust resides in the mind and intelligence? Me neither, but I know it because I know the English. Lust, a desire to enjoy, resides in the mind and the intelligence. So Hamsa is explaining that one has to change that attitude, change that viewpoint. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep. There are different stages of consciousness. Waking, we're awake. Sleeping, and deep sleep. These three functions of the intelligence are caused by the modes of material nature. The living entity within the body is ascertained to possess characteristics of different from these three states and thus remains as a witness to them. The spirit soul is trapped in the bondage of material intelligence, which awards him the constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. But I am the fourth stage of consciousness, beyond wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. Becoming situated in me, the soul should give up the bondage of material consciousness. At that time, the living entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and material mind. So what's his instruction? Manmanava mabadbhakto, majajimam namaskuru. That living entities in the material world, in order to become freed from that binding nature of the sense objects and the mind, have to focus their mind on that which is transcendental. That's transcendental meditation. It means meditating on Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. The more we become absorbed in family, nation, team, me, them, us, those, the more we become entangled and bound by this relationship. The false ego of the living entity places him in bondage and awards him exactly the opposite of what he really desires. Therefore, an intelligent person should give up his constant anxiety to enjoy material life and remain situated in the Lord, who is beyond the functions of material consciousness. According to my instructions, one should fix the mind on me alone. If, however, one continues to see many different values and goals of life, rather than seeing everything within me, then although apparently awake, one is actually dreaming due to incomplete knowledge, just as one may dream that he has awakened from a dream. If one dreams that he awakes from the dream, he's still in a dream state. He thinks he's in reality, but it's still a dream. So whatever we perceive, whatever we interact with, whatever we perform, if we're not linking it with transcendence, we're bound. We're an illusion. It's a dream. It's a dream world. It won't exist. It will change. It will end. Death will come. And then you go on to another body and another scenario of friends and family and body and school and all the different things that happen. My dear Brahmins, Lord Hamsa continued, I have now explained to you this confidential knowledge of Sankhya, by which one philosophically distinguishes matter from spirit, by which one links to the Supreme. Please understand that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and that I have appeared before you desiring to explain your actual religious duties. O best of the Brahmins, please know that I am the supreme shelter of the yoga system, analytic philosophy, virtuous action, truth through religious principles, power, beauty, fame, and self-control. Lord Krishna finalized. My dear Uddhava, thus all of the doubts which the sages headed by Sanaka were destroyed by my words. Fully worshipping me with transcendental love and devotion, they chanted my glories with excellent hymns. The greatest of sages headed by Sanaka Rishi thus perfectly worshipped and glorified me, and as Lord Brahma looked on, I returned to my home, my own abode. No other pastime, no swan in a lake, no swan lake pastimes. He simply spoke to the Kumaras, this transcendental knowledge, there's a lot more I summarize naturally, and disappeared. Now, found a nice verse where Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the nature of the swan and why it's especially revered in the Vedic literatures. Can you click on that one that's called Hamsa Ava? Prabhupada audio clip or video clip or whatever it is. FLV? The flash. No, this is Nimbarkacharya. Well, that one's next. That's the Shalagram Shila that Hamsa gave to the four Kumaras. That's also him. The other one. It's on a hard drive, on a little clip drive. Can you help him with another Prabhu? It's only 4 minutes long, but it's Srila Prabhupada explaining who is a Paramahamsa. He talks about, in case those who might not know his language, he talks about how the unique feature of a swan is that it can take a mixture of milk and water and suck out the milk. So similarly, a Paramahamsa, Parama means topmost, Hamsa, can visualize and engage everything in the spiritual method rather than in the material way. While he's getting that together, what happened was that the Kumaras had this information, they had their knowledge. There are different branches, just like we know there's Gaudiya Math, there's so many different of Gaudiya Math, so many different branches of that manifested. There's different branches of every Sampradaya. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's compared to a tree that branches out into many different features and branches. So now we'll read about the Kali Yuga manifestation of the Kumara Sampradaya, predicted and spoken of in Shastra. Sri Nimbarka Acharya, that's the blue one that we saw a few minutes ago, is the incarnation of Surasan Chakra. You got it? Okay, go ahead. This is interesting. He's also partially an incarnation of Ranga Devi, who's one of the eight principal gopis. Tosha Sukha, a cowherd boy, a cow named Gusara, a stick for herding cows, and the luster of the limbs of Srimati Radharani. Oh, I don't know how it connects. Well, not going to get it. Too bad. If you go on YouTube, you can look up Sri Prabhupada, who is a Paramahamsa, and on my page, you can watch that if you care to. So, in the Nainisa Kanda of the Bhavishya Purana, it is said, at the end of Treta Yuga, various Brahmins were concerned about the development and power of various asuras and prayed to Lord Hari. They also prayed to Lord Brahma, who himself prayed to Lord Hari again. Then the Lord summoned his own Sudarsan Chakra, his disc weapon, and commanded him to descend on earth to revive and teach the Vaishnava Dharma, which was waning, and which he could learn from Narada and spread it all around. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he appears yuga after yuga. Whenever there's a decline in religious activity and an increase in irreligion, then he manifests so that the religious, spiritually minded people have a suitable and practical way to advance in spiritual life. So Nimbarkacharya they give his whole life, how when he was young, he was born in Madhya Pradesh, which is in the middle of India, traveled around looking for a guru, and ended up about a mile or two away from Govardhan Hill, and began meditating. And just like with Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to the forest, Narada came to him. Narada Muni, who had also been instructed by Lord Brahma in the teachings of the four Kumaras, he is their younger brother. Actually, he was taught by the Kumaras. He came and he initiated Nimbarka. So this, in the chanting of what's called the 18 mantra, Gopal mantra, Klin Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Janavarabhaya, Svaha. That's the mantra of the Kumara Sampradaya. However, just like ISKCON does many different tunes and different mantras manifest themselves at different times, the Kumara Sampradaya also has another mantra that's become quite famous. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sam, Sam Sam, Radhe Radhe. And if you go to Vrindavan, especially around Bunki Bihari, there's another temple on the corner as you go towards Lohi Bazaar called Radhavallabha. They're the ones that wear their bead bag like all over their hand, not like us, we have a little hole in the top. Theirs starts like up at their arm and comes down in a square figure. They're always chanting, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sam, Radhe Sam, Sam Sam, Radhe Radhe. And they worship Radhavallabha. The temple in the top of Suiji Temple at Varsana, in Gokul, all over the place, these deities are there. So Nimbarkacharya stayed there, started a mutt, started teaching disciples, and his sampradaya expanded and grew. But one time he became apparently inspired to travel to Navadvip, because in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another thing that we should note before I forget it, is that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, he often quots what's called the Sunat Kumar Samhita. Just like we have the Brahma Samhita, the Sunat Kumar Samhita is all about the teachings of Lord Hamsa's teachings to the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, as we'll read here, also taught Bhava Marg. We have Bhakti Marg. Rudra Samhita is Pushti Marg. And Sri Sampradaya is Dasya, servant, Seva Marg. So he taught Bhava Marg. One time some Brahmins, devotees of Lord Shiva, worshipped him by offering leaves from his favorite tree, the Bilva, or Bale tree, for a fortnight's duration. Lord Shiva was pleased with the Brahmins and gave them Krishna Bhakti. Amongst those worshippers was Nimbaditya, the person we're talking about, who had been very attentive to the worship. Lord Shiva spoke to him. At the edge of this village is a sacred Bilva forest. Within that forest, the four Kumaras are sitting in meditation. By their mercy, you will receive transcendental knowledge. They are your gurus. By serving them, you will receive all that is of value. Saying this, Lord Shiva disappeared. How many people have done, like, around Navadvip? Been around pretty good? How many people have been to the Jagannath Temple in Mayapur? Okay, it's a little bit beyond that. If you were to go to that temple, and go a little bit further, not like down the road out towards town or towards Calcutta, but keep going past the temple, out to the river, and take a left. You're going north. Bilvapaksha is there. That's where this pastime took place. Nimbaditya searched and found that place on an attractive platform in the forest near Lord Shiva. He saw the four brothers, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sunat Kumar, sitting unseen by others. They were very young, naked, and mobile in character. Nimbarka, stunned, cried out in excitement, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." Hearing the holy name, the Kumara's meditation broke. They opened their eyes and saw before them an ideal Vaishnava. Satisfied by this sight, one after another, they embraced Nimbaditya. "Who are you?" they asked. "Why have you come here? We will certainly fulfill your prayers." Nimbarka offered his obeisances and humbly introduced himself. Sunat Kumar smiled and said, "Knowing that Kali Yuga would be very troublesome, the all-merciful Supreme Lord decided to propagate devotional service. He empowered four men with devotional service and sent them into the world to preach. Ramanuja, Madhva, and Vishnu Swami are three of these men. You are the fourth of these great devotees. Sri Lakshmi accepted Ramanuja. Brahma accepted Madhvacharya. Rudra accepted Vishnu Swami. And we, meeting you today, have the good fortune to teach you. This is our intention. Previously, we were engaged in meditating on Brahman. But by the Lord's mercy, that sinful nature has gone away. Now that I know the sweet taste of pure devotional service, I have written one book named Sanat Kumar Samhita. You should receive initiation into its teachings." Seeing his guru's mercy, the wise Nimbarka quickly took his bath in the Ganges and returned. He offered obeisances and humbly said, "O deliverer of the fallen, please deliver this low rascal." The four brothers gave him the Radha Krishna mantra and instructed him how to worship Radha and Krishna, filled with sentiments of great love, called Bhava Marg. Having obtained the mantra, Nimbaditya resided at this sacred place and worshipped according to the instructions of that Samhita. After some time, Radha and Krishna bestowed their mercy and appeared before Nimbarka. Lighting up all directions and gently smiling, they said, "You are very fortunate. You have performed sadhana in Sri Navadvip Dham, our dear abode. Here we take one form, the son of Sachi Devi." While saying this, the two forms of Radha and Krishna combined into one form as Gauranga. Nimbarka was astounded on seeing that form and exclaimed, "Oh, never have I seen or heard of such a remarkable form anywhere." Mahaprabhu said, "Please keep this secret for now. Just preach Krishna Bhakti and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. For I am very happy in those pastimes. When I appear as Gauranga, I will enjoy educational pastimes. At that time, you will take birth in Kashmir and tour India as a champion scholar and defeat all opponents. Your name will be Keshava Kashmiri, and you will be celebrated everywhere for your great learning. While wandering on tour, you will come to Mayapur. Learned scholars of Navadvip will flee when they hear your name, but I will be intoxicated with learning and take pleasure in defeating you. By the mercy of Sarasvati, you will realize my identity, give up your pride, and take shelter of me. Then I will give you the gift of bhakti and send you out to preach pure devotional service again. So you can satisfy me now by preaching the philosophy of Dvaita Dvaita, monism and dualism, keeping my secret identity." So Nimbarkacharya taught the name of his philosophy is Dvaita Dvaita. Dvaita means dual. It means it's not the same. And Advaita means it's the same. So it's simultaneously the same and different. But somehow in the subtle use of Sanskrit language and in the subtle world of debate, Achintibhedabheda Tattva of Lord Chaitanya is slightly different. Although it's inconceivable, that word, Achintya, Jiva Goswami points out that when you bring an argument to someone, if you use the word achintya, conversation over. How can you argue with that which is inconceivable? It's achintya. It's inconceivable. You can't argue. If you argue about something that's inconceivable, the argument can go on forever. So that's one of the differences in Beta Beta and Dvaita Dvaita. I'm sorry, I don't have the insight to tell you, but it's basically the same thing. The basic concept is that this world is different and non-different, as well as the living entities being different and non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu continued, "Later, when I begin the Sankirtan movement, I will preach the essence of the four Vaishnava philosophies. From Madhva, I will receive two essential items, his complete defeat of the Mayavadi philosophy and his service to the deity of Krishna, accepting the deity as an eternal spiritual being. Madhvacharya, in Karnataka, Udupi, he was the one that always has two pictures. When you see his picture, he has two fingers up. Dualism. He didn't accept, he didn't teach that the living entities and the Lord are the same. He taught that they're always different. To kick out any concept of the Sankaracharya concept of Advaita, that everything is one. No, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that never was there a time when you did not exist, nor me, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall we ever cease to be. Na tveva hamda tu na samnat vam ne me dunaripad. Na tveva nabhavishyamai sarvaiva yamata param. That we're eternally individuals. So, that's what he took from Madhva, the worship of the deity, because Madhva was the one that was in out on the ocean in Udupi, and there was a boat coming along the ocean. And in Udupi, if you go there, it's kind of like China, where they have these kind of like things sticking out of the water, like little islands. So Madhvacharya saw that the boat was headed for a stone, and he took off his chatter and he was waving it. He was trying to attract the captain of the boat that you're heading for a rock. So they stopped, and they were saved. And then they sent the rowboat in, and they came to this sage on the banks of the ocean and asked, "Oh, my dear sage, you saved our load. We're coming from Dwarka, and we're going south. What can we possibly give you to, satisfy you in donation, to help you out?" So Madhvacharya, due to his prowess, knew that within the Gopi Chandan, they were empty boat. They had dropped their load in Dwarka and were headed south again to pick up more goods, shipment. And they had taken a whole bunch of Gopi Chandan earth from Dwarka and used it as a ballast to put into the boat so it would stay low. So Madhvacharya said, "You just give me some of that Gopi Chandan." So they went out to the boat, they got this big, huge piece of Gopi Chandan, and then they rowed it back and gave it to Madhvacharya. And when they were bringing it off the boat onto the beach, the Gopi Chandan cracked in half and opened up, and the little deity of Krishna, like a cowherd boy with a stick and a little butter, popped out. He was within that earth, coming from Dwarka, so who knows who was worshipping him. And then he installed that deity. So Mahaprabhu is saying, "I'll take the dualism and the Madhva and the deity worship. From Ramanuja, I will accept two great teachings, the concept of bhakti unpolluted by karma and jnana, and service to the devotees." Mahaprabhu, vancha kalpa tubhyastha kripa sindhu devata patitanam bhavanadeva vaishnavadeva namo maha tarnadapi sunichana tarodapi shishnana. Examples of that service to devotees, humility, and bhakti. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadishikam hai mama janmani janmani spare bhavatad bhakti ahaitikitvai. Nothing material, simply bhakti. He took from Ramanuja. From Vishnu Swamis, I will accept these two elements, the sentiment of exclusive dependence on Krishna. Remember I told you they followed the Pushti Marg, the worshippers of the baby Krishna? They worship Pushti Marg. Pushti means complete dependence. Their mantra is, "Sri Krishna Saranam Mama, Sri Krishna Saranam Mama, Sri Krishna Saranam Mama, Aham Tum Sarva Pabhigo Mukshe Shami Maha Suchaha." Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Take shelter of me and I will protect you." So their mood is like that. And the path of Raga Bhakti. Raga Bhakti means that by performing rules and regulations, one gradually comes to the platform of spontaneously wanting to do it. So by worshipping Krishna in their mode, one comes to that Raga Marg. And from you, Nimbarka, I will receive two excellent principles, the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani, and the high esteem for the gopis' love of Krishna, Bhava Marg, gopis' love for Krishna. The mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is not to try to enjoy with Krishna personally, but because Radharani is the supreme goddess, the only person who can really give pleasure to Krishna unparalleled, as we know from the Rasa dance, because everybody else was there, And he was still looking, wonder where she was, which proves her glories. So the mood is to serve Radha and Krishna and their gopis. So this is what he took, and the high esteem for the gopis' love for Krishna. So this is what Mahaprabhu took from Nimbarka Acharya. When Gauranga disappeared, Nimbarka wept out of love. After worshipping the feet of his gurus, he left for preaching Krishna Bhakti. So Nimbarka Acharya ki jai. And at 6 o'clock, prasad was ready. Haribo.
You like to hear Srila Prabhupada? You like to hear Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, okay, you have that together? This is the swan tape, Paramahamsa.
Therefore,
just hearing.
Who is not disturbed at all, he is called Paramahamsa. Therefore, Kunti Devi said, Tatha Paramahamsana. Parama means ultimate. Hamsa means swan. Paramahamsa means the perfect Hamsa. Hamsa, it is said that if you, Hamsa means swan, if you give to swan milk mixed with water, she will take the milk part and leave aside the water. Similarly, a person who knows what is this material world is made of two natures, the inferior nature and the superior nature. The superior nature means spiritual life, and inferior nature is material life. So a person who gives up the material part of this world and takes only the spiritual part, he is called Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa. A spiritual part means one who knows that whatever is working in this material, just like this body, your body, my body. Anyone who knows that this movement, the activities of this body is due to the soul which is within this body. That is the real fact, and this is only outward covering. Similarly, one who knows that Krishna is the center of these all activities, he is Paramahamsa. He is Paramahamsa. He knows the fact. So, Bhakti Yoga is for the Paramahamsa. One who knows that Krishna is the central fact. Aham adirihi divana matta sarvam pravartate. So one who knows that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Not only theoretically, but practically, convenes, he is Paramahamsa. So Kunti Devi said, that you are meant for the Paramahamsas, not for the rascals and fools. You are meant for the Paramahamsa. Tatha Paramahamsana Munina. Munina means those are thoughtful, also mentals, speculators, they are called Muni. Munina Amalatmana Amala. There is no dirty things in their heart. Materialistic person means full of dirty things within the heart. What is the dirty thing? That lust and greediness. That's all. This is the dirty things. All materialistic person, they are lusty and greedy. Therefore, their heart is full of dirty things. And avalatmana means those are freed from the things, lust and greediness. Samalapanam. For them, Bhakti Yoga. This Bhakti Yoga is meant for the clean heart, not the lusty and greedy. That is not, they may try, they will gradually advance. But once he is situated in Bhakti Yoga, there is no more lust and greediness. Virakti annatrasya. This is the test. Whether one has become free from lusty desires and greediness, then he is situated in Paramahansa. He is Paramahansa. So the reason
I picked that was because the original question was, how does a person not become entangled with the mind and intelligence which are naturally attracted to the objects of the senses in this world? And he explains it so clearly that the Paramahamsa can extract the spiritual, see it in relationship to Krishna, use it in Krishna's service, rather than with the impulse to enjoy it. That's lusty and greedy. Freed from that is Paramahamsa. And that is very similar to what Lord Hamsa taught the four Kumaras. Any comments or questions? Paramahamsa, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.